Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
As we go to the scriptures this morning, we read in the Word of God, and we could read this thing and say, well, this is what they did, or this is what happened, or this and that. But you know, we have to apply this. This is what it was written for, brethren. The Old Testament, there's things showing us the mind, the will, the ways of God. And it hasn't changed. You know, people have changed the Lord, changed God in this day. And because of the dispensation of grace and because people aren't seen possibly. Now, we the sons of God see the chastening of the Lord. We know what the chastening of God is. You and I do. Because he chastens them that he loves. But you know, the people of the world don't see the chastening of the Lord. So they just go on in their rebellious ways. They just go on in their worldly ways. But you know, we look at things differently. We find scriptures in the Word about, you know, not chastening the neighbor's children, so to speak. And God chastens them that are his children, his sons. Amen. And sometimes we draw back. It's grievous for the moment, as the Word says, but it does bring forth and yield forth righteous fruits. Amen. And that's what we want, is the fruit of the Lord in our life. Amen. We're going to read some in the book of Numbers this morning. I'll take you over to about the 13th chapter. And we're going to read a little bit. And the Lord has put some things in my spirit to consider if I have the ability to bring them to you. I pray and trust and hope that the Lord will. But one thing I can trust is that you are in his word this morning. And if I have the lack of ability to orchestrate or to articulate or whatever to get this word to you, you've got the open Bible there before you. You can read the word and it's alive. Amen. It is a word of God that is alive. It needs to be quickened to you, I should say. This is your responsibility. Amen. Yes, I have a responsibility to teach. The Bible said the minister, the pastor, to be apt to teach. So I have a responsibility, yes. But the thing is even with great orators and great teachers and great anointed men, I've seen thousands of people sit in their presence and under them, and they do not receive. In the scriptures we're going to read to you this morning, you're going to find that the Lord God himself was speaking to the people. Amen. And they did not take heed to what they heard or did not receive what was said. Amen. So the thing is with my inabilities to speak, I'm going to say like this, is that you're still responsible to this word, and the word is going to have its way, and the word is real. Amen. We can't discount it. We can't make excuses. We can't just continually to hide under the grace of God and under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which I know you say, well, I'm going to always hide under the blood. Well, there's a day that it comes off and be exposed. Take full advantage of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to equip yourself, to mold yourself and fashion yourself after the likeness of the Lord God in holiness and righteousness and power and salvation. Amen. Let's read here in the book of Numbers, again, the 13th chapter. Let's go down to about the 17th verse. Amen. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get ye up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, wherein in tents or in strongholds. I want you to pay attention to what they're asked to do here. You know, we can just read through this stuff, but I want you to really get the thrust of what's taking place right here. You think the Lord was asking them to go into this place where they could be discouraged? It says, and what the land is, verse 20, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two and upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and the figs. The place was called the brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes, which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto a land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled, and very great, and moreover we saw the children of Anak there. Let me say a couple things here, and we're going to go on in the scriptures here and find the mind of the Lord that the Lord has impressed on me this morning. They fulfilled what God asked them right now to this point. This report says, nevertheless, he asked them, go look at this land. You know, does it have wood or does it not? Are they dwelling in tents or are they in strongholds or whatever? Well, they've come back with the proper report. Not with defeat in their lips at this point. You know, we know Joshua didn't come back with that kind of a report. He found himself grieving. You find later on in the reading in the next chapter, you can find that he was grieved his own self with what the people had done, the some that went in and dwelled with them. And we could see that the Lord was very displeased. But you know, they saw, they gave a report of what they found. They brought back some substance or some fruit of this. You know, and the thing is if we just look at this historically speaking, brother, how many times has the Lord asked you to maybe search out, to maybe spy out, or to go and analyze and check some things out? And then you have looked at this thing in the mind of the Lord, through the mind of God, and through the desire of the Lord. How many times has he showed you great and mighty things? Something that would have much fruit, something good for you to dwell in, something for you to work in or live in. And then yet, there's some other things that come to your mind. Let's go to verse 29. It says, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. I want you to think of Caleb being your inner man this morning for a moment. We've got scriptures in the New Testament. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We're more than conquerors. Amen. We could do the things that are impossible because our God makes the impossible things possible. Now here's a positive report going from Caleb. You know, he goes in, he sees, observes, he says, we can do this. Amen. He wasn't speaking by his own strength. He had done seen. You think of what these children that came out of Egypt, think about the things that they have witnessed and seen God move in their behalf. Brought them out of Egypt. Parts the sea, brings forth water, forth of a rock to sustain natural life. They bring manna raining down out of heaven when they're out in a wilderness area that there's nothing. And he brings all this and God has showed himself over and over and over again to them. And here's this brother looking at this, saying, you know what? Man, we can do this. Amen? See, this is the way sons of God should be thinking today. You know, we can do this. It may be impossible for them out there. The communists, whatever, they may be looking and say, oh, you can't do this. Taking it over to a natural thought. We can't do this. This isn't time. We can't build a church here. We can't do this or we can't do that. But you know, we say, well, yes, we can. We can do all things in Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go on just for a moment. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses in verse 30. And said, let us go at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, maybe this will line up with the scriptures of evil communications, huh? But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people. They are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land, though which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And they saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. It says, and the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt? You remember when they said that before, when they was in the wilderness? we want to go back to the land of garlic and onions. Man, we'd be better off to be in slavery over there. We're not going to perish and die out in the wilderness. You know, we could mock that, but brothers and sisters, it lays in the members of your first birth. You doubt the Lord. You say, oh man, this great man of God did this and this one done that and this one over here. I read in the Bible this, that, but. This would lays in the members of your first birth of your flesh. And all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried and the people wept that night. Verse 1. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, the whole congregation. said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Brethren, again, I'm reading this and I want you to apply this. There's so many times, I know the voice of God. I know you, I know me, I know the thoughts of man. We're all fashioned alike, and I know that we could read this and just historically speaking goes, you know, what's wrong with those ignorant people? Look at the things that they've saw. Look at the things that, you know, that they witnessed, and then they've got this kind of a spirit, this kind of a mind, these kind of thoughts. What is wrong with those people? And I say, no, what is wrong with me, oh God? You know, I say, what is wrong with you? Why would we murmur? Why would we complain? Why would we not expect? Why would we limit God? Why would we say this can't be done? Why would we make these things that are said before us giants? Why would we make these things and make them unconquerable when the Lord is right there with us and encouraging us and strengthening us and anointing? And He showed Himself to us. We're inexcusable, church. Let's go on to verse 4. And they said one to another, Let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. I'm just going to backslide. I'm using worldly terminologies or people that don't understand New Testament doctrine. Well, I'm just going to, you know, go back in the world. How many people have you seen go back? The dog returning to the vomit. You know, the swine, the hog, the sow returning to the mire. They just go back. You know, well, this church ain't right. This preacher ain't right. This one ain't right. No, it ain't have nothing to do with the church. It has nothing to do with the preacher. It has to do with you. It has to do with your thoughts, your mind. And what you do is you look to find fault with something or somebody else where you can feel a sense that you're doing the right thing. I like what the one preacher said. If you can find a church that don't have problems in it, said, please don't go, because once you get there, it's got problems. And that's the truth, brethren. There's no such place. Jesus had problems. Everywhere He went, there was problems. Amen. But He overcome those problems. He stayed and pressed and fought and kept the course. Amen. You know, the thing is we want to take the path of least resistance. We want to prophesy smooth things. You know, people find fault with me for some of the things and ways I teach. You know, they want me to just teach on the inner man and teach on the spirit. Yeah, my desire is to speak to you is unto spirituals. When you're speaking unto spirituals, we speak by the authority and the power, the anointing of God, that we can do all things. Amen. But sometimes we got to keep the one that's raising up there, that old man, that one that's coming up that speaks like this, that brings the judgments of God and brings the curses and brings the things to you. You know, we say, you preach on iniquities too much. Amen. No, your iniquities are too alive. Amen. And the thing is, yes, when I speak to that inner man, that spirit man, when you're born again and been fed by the Spirit of God, and you've been walking in the anointing and the power of God, there isn't no iniquities. There's nothing laid to your shame whatsoever at all. You're walking in the power, the purity, the holiness, the godliness, the righteousness, the virtue of the Lord, dwelling and walking in heavenly places. Yes, I know the doctrine, amen, but I also know that there's a dispute for the land, there's a dispute for the body, there's a dispute for your life, and you find yourself just like this right here. Yes, that Caleb spirit, yes, that Joshua spirit should be rising up within you, rejoicing and praising the Lord. We can conquer, we can do this, we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. We could take the land, amen. We could conquer this man. The kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God and His Christ. You're looking for conquering of America. You're looking for the conquering of the world and the conquering of the nations. But you need to conquer this kingdom right here, this fleshly man, this fleshly mind with all of its thoughts. And you need to conquer it and let Jesus Christ live, rule, and reign, amen. Or otherwise, these scriptures right here that we're reading now are coming to pass in your life. Well, this is just more than I could bear. Well, I just can't do this. But I enjoy those other things over there. Amen. We got to take the land, brothers and sisters. It's rich. There's fruit there. Salvation and power and anointing there. Amen. And that's what God has in store for you. Let's go on. In verse 4, it says, And they said one to another, Let's make a captain and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. I'd say they wasn't pleased with what they were hearing coming forth of the congregation. Amen. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us unto this land and give it us, land which floweth with milk and honey. If, here's that big word again, if the Lord delight in us. Let me ask you a question. Does the Lord delight in you this morning? You know he does. You're the apple of his eye. You're his chosen generation. You're the Lord's. Amen. You need to realize that. You see, but when you have unbelief and unfavorable thoughts in your thinking and you're just putting giants, you're walling up things that God has tore down. Amen. And you're tearing down your walls for every unclean thing that could come and inhabit you. Let's go on. Verse 9. It says, "And rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. For they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not." But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, "How long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me?" How long? How long? What is it going to take for them to believe me? Is what he's saying here. How long is it going to take? "For all the signs which I've showed among them." And what if I pose that question to you this morning? What is it going to take to walk in authority and get your thoughts under control? To quit walking in the weakness of man. Quit walking in the weakness of flesh. Quit leaning to the arm of your own flesh and the mind, saying that you can't. That you can't. That's not in God's vocabulary. His vocabulary is, "I can. I can do all things. I'm more than a conqueror." What the Bible says. More. More than a conqueror. You know, a conqueror is one thing, but how about being more than a conqueror? Amen? It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I've showed them." Ponder on it. How long? "I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee greater nation and mightier than they." And Moses said unto the Lord, "Then the Egyptians shall hear it." See, he's talking about preserving a testimony right here, brother. What am I going to say if you all want to get your captain together and go back into Egypt? What are you going to be telling them? They saw the mighty hand of God move in their midst. They saw God raise the people up and move them out. And they took many of the people's gold. They took a lot of things out of there with them. You know, and what are we going to do? You're going to take a captain and go back? That's smiting God. That's saying, you know, this God that they humbled to, their armies drowned out when the sea closed up. They saw the mighty hand of God leading them. Brothers and sisters, there's a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. I'm talking about what these Egyptians saw. And now they're taken up to go back? See, you know, we got to apply this in our lives today. Sometimes God raises you up and sets you apart, and then you go back. This is why it grieves my spirit so bad when we preach holiness and when we preach doctrines of godliness and we preach a separation and we show the power, the authority to come out of the world and be a peculiar people. And we got some that have walked with us, some that have been numbered with us, that go right back. They go back out there. They get involved in the world. They get involved in the businesses of this world. They get involved in the prestige of this world. And they start looking like the world and paint themselves up like the worldly Jezebels. And they start looking and talking like that. And it's the same thing right here. They will not receive the inheritance of the Lord. They will not be inhabitants of the land of the kingdom of the living God, because they're doing the very same thing. You know, they murmur and they complain. God saying, "Hey, this is for you." But they got their thoughts in Egypt. They got their thoughts in the world. They got their thoughts upon the flesh, and they're afraid to fight. They're afraid to press and afraid to push, looking for the least resistance. Prophesy smooth things. You'll find some filthy, reprobate preacher that'll take you in. You could depart from this church of holiness and godliness and with an expectation of you, and you could find a church out here and they'll say, "Oh man, praise God, you're so gifted, you're so great, you're so talented, you're so skilled," and all it is puke on your breath and vomit and mire, and they'll hug you and embrace you because they don't smell the stench of it because they've been in it so long. We can get around stench. We can get around those kind of things that just don't seem to faze us. Don't seem to bother us whatsoever at all. That's not a place to be. That is not the sweet smelling savor that makes it up to the throne of God. I'll promise you that. Amen. "And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people. that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and then thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. You see, we got to bring this to a present truth of what the life and the actions and the lifestyle and the thoughts and the spewing out of people's mouth of what this does to the Lord, our God. He's given us all power, all authority. He's equipped us with the weapons of warfare. They're not carnal, no. But he's equipped us with the power, a sound mind. And we get out here and spew through this world. And we get sucked in and held on. The world doesn't have positive communication, brethren. It's evil communications. I know we as the children of God sometimes have to be amongst it, but we're not of it. When you're trying to fit in, trying to fit into the mind of it, it don't matter if you're seeking after a career and you want to be like them, you start wanting to fashion yourself after them. Well, I like this man. Man, he's successful. He's good. I remember a minister not long ago, he was going to the banks and finding out how much he can get for financing and what he could do. And he was looking and checking into all the legalities of building and starting a church. He was going to some of Joel Osteen's seminars and he was reading all of his books. And he was all pumped up and excited. And he's calling me, asking me, he goes, look, I want to come over and preach in your church. I want to practice. So what he said. And I told him straight out, I said, why don't you find a man of God to fashion your life after? Why don't you find somebody with the anointing of God and filled with the Holy Ghost? I said, why would you want to fashion after this man? Because he was looking at the fame, the popularity, the finance, and the money, and the prestige. He wasn't looking for winning souls. And this is why he fashioned, to look at that. And I know it's, you know, people say, why do you always want to slam on Joel Osteen? Well, I'm just using him for an example because he's climbed up into the upper echelon and deceiving, multiplied thousands of people. Let's go to verse 17. It says, and now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Let me tell you something. When we talk about these generational things, I can speak with all authority, all power, that I am more than a conqueror. I can break every single generational curse by the authority and the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But I got to choose to do so. You know, sometimes we like these things. We take on some peculiarities, brothers and sisters. I'm not talking about the peculiar people as what we are in Christ. I'm speaking peculiar to the Christian mind or to the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a proper way. I've been around religious people that number themselves with holiness and righteousness, and they believe that they are the cream of the crop or believe that they're the chosen ones, that they're in the right message and things. And I watch the way they deal with people, and I think that's not the Spirit of God. You know, I find that my God, when he came amongst these heathen people, worldly people, the downtrodden, the cast out, the ones that we might look down as in our mindset as the wretched, the immoral, the ungodly, the harlots, the sodomites, and all the drunkards, and all these filthy people, and we look down on them with a, you know, I'm better than you. That's not the attribute of the Lord. You know, there's times, brothers and sisters, that we got to be very careful to discern these people and what they're doing. I spoke with a man yesterday that was taking another man off the streets. The man had been strung out on this crack, I guess they call it. And the man had been strung out on it. He was bringing him to his home. I said, I commend you for doing such a kind act of charity. I said, I've done that many times myself. And this is what we as the children of God do. But on the other hand, I had to exhort him a little bit. I said, be careful, brother. I said, I do the same thing. I may be ripped off. I may be stole from. I may be cheated. Or whatever, but be careful. I was bringing people into my home. I think everybody here knows that I'm very charitable. Show a lot of hospitality and bring people in on a continuous basis. Strangers, people I don't know. Sometimes I speak very straight with them. I say, you know what, you may come in and rob me and steal from me. But praise the Lord, this is the Lord's. But I'm going to try to help. But Brother Pike, he told me, he said, Brother Rob, he said, you're out of order. You've opened up your home. and you're allowing these people in, and you've got little daughters and stuff living in your home, and they're going to get violated. And he said, you're too loose, showing too much hospitality. And what he said was the truth, and it come to pass. And the thing is, brethren, is you have to find the will, the mind, the leading of the Lord. Yes, God wants you, he says, the minister to be given to hospitality. But then, yeah, we have to use some wisdom and some understanding. I know this is a little bit off of the course that we were going this morning. And I'm going to pick back up and read in here a minute, because there's some things that we need to consider, to look and to examine. But I share some of these things with you. Because there's times, brethren, you know, that people will use the word of God to speak against the Spirit of the Lord. You see, we're Spirit-led people. We got to take this word line upon line, precept upon precept. There's times that we want to apply the word out of order. We apply the word in the wrong dimension or the wrong place. This is a very common problem in Christianity. You know, I'll just go back to the little example I've used over and over with you, just for thought to vindicate what I'm saying. You take the word and you borrow money from somebody, and then they come to you and say, well, brother, you said you was going to give me that debt back, you know, in 2 weeks, man, and I really need it right now. I've got a house payment up. And you say, well, brother, the Bible says to lend without no expectation of return. You have erred in the scriptures and the word. Well, that's the Bible, brother. You can't tell me I've erred. It's not your place to reprove that man if he is in error, because you are the one that caused him to do this. That is where you are totally wrong. Now, this is a very common violation. I've witnessed this over and over and over and over again, brethren. And there's people that take the word and they apply it to their own benefit. They apply it to their own selfishness. They apply it to their own greed. And they judge you and look at you for, what are you doing for me? How is this benefiting me? And it's all about me, me, me. And when you find that you're full of the Holy Ghost and you're anointed of the Lord and walking in the Spirit, that you're reading the word, and it's for them. It's for them, and it's for the other, to bring them into the power and the glory of the Lord. Amen. This is why we read our Bibles, that we could help somebody else, to help somebody else to prosper, to grow, and to gain. When you're seeking and reading the word for your own admiration or for your own prestige, for your own knowledge that you can get before people and show them how good you are and how skilled you are and how well you know the Bible, you're a stench in the nostrils of God. With your preaching, your orating, whatever it is a stench in the nostrils of God. See, people don't like that. They go to seminary, they go to school, they go to get learned, they study to be good and proper orators, and they do all these things, and it's a stench in the nostrils of God. Boy, I tell you, people don't like that kind of speaking. As Brother Pike himself said, I'd take a man that's a little bit crude, a little bit rough, but that's what he is. He said, I could accept that man, because he's presenting himself what he is. But you know, I've known ministers over the years. I've shared stories with you. But they'll be out, hey, you know, how you doing, brother? Hey, good to see you. God bless you, man. Praise the Lord. No, this and that. And then they get behind the secretary. Oh, God. Doesn't that turn you off? I know we can mock and laugh, but I know that when God is using this fleshly man, he could orchestrate through him. And yes, he might sound like a screaming Indian. He might dance, he might shout, he might fall on the floor, he might slobber, he might spin, it'd be the anointing of God. I'm not coming against that or mocking that, but I'm talking that old religious polished thing. I hate that. I believe God hates it also. Amen. Well, God don't hate anything. He hates you, I beg your pardon, with your self-righteous religious mind, with the stench of puke running out of your breath. That's not nice, Brother Rob. No, I was trying to figure out a nicer way to say it, that you're on your way to hell. But I guess I'm not a good orator. Don't know how to tell them those kind of things. Amen. Who are you talking to, Brother Rob? Anybody that has ear to hear. Amen. But you know, we got to break these religious curses. You know, we were reading here about generational curses. You know, well, my daddy was a Baptist preacher, you know. Did he get saved? My granddaddy was one. So we get down to the third generational curse, and you're one too, you poor thing. I'm not speaking against the Baptist. You might say, well, I'm a Pentecostal holiness, praise God. And my great-granddaddy, my granddaddy, and my daddy and me are one. And I say, well, get born again. Amen. You see, that could be a generational curse. This is what they was, and this is what you is. And you pattern like them, you preach like them. They go ooga ooga, and you do the same thing. Ooga ooga, where'd that come from? I guess that was, I must be talking one of my African brothers. I don't know what that word means, but it's, you know, people watch preachers. We had one come to Bethlehem, you know, and they said that Brother Branham, you know, would preach sometimes and get so weak that some of the brethren would have to hold him up. I've had the virtue of the Lord leave my body so much at times in evangelistic meetings and stuff that I really lost my strength. But this thing wasn't that. It was somebody wanting to be like Brother William Branham. And these people come up there and it was all showmanship. It grieved my spirit. I wanted to throw up. And it was a stench in the nostrils of God. But they got up there doing that. And there's people that do all these things, mimicking these preachers of old and mimicking the way that they moved and the way that they done. I've known preachers over the years that studied mannerisms and studied the ways and the things. Well, this man was successful. And he tried. That's not what made the man successful. What made the man successful in the mind and the ways and the things of God, because he was anointed of the Lord and he was bringing forth the word of God. And he might have had a peculiar way of doing it. He might have had some kind of way, but it was still the Lord utilizing the man. Brother Pike only had a fourth grade education. And I'm sure that many people would get turned off hearing him speak with his mispronunciations. He was a far better reader than I am. And far better than I am, but what I'm saying is still, but I'm sure many people were turned off because of the expressions and the way he would say things. He had people around him and he said, please help me. Let's get this thing where it's presentable to give the people that we can get through some of that. I can truly say that I've got many problems when it comes to writing and putting things down and orchestrating things down on the written page. I thank God for people that could help me and work with me. Let's go on here, verse 19. It says, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of the mercy. And thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land where into he went, and his seed shall possess it. Well, I love the spoken word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn ye and get into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with the evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which said, should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. Think of that scripture with the New Testament writing, said to be coming as a little child to enter in. Amen. Hallelujah. But as for you, your carcass, they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness after the number of days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day of a year shall be bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed and they shall die. Brethren, understand the word of God. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up the slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of men that went to search the land, lived still. And Moses told these sayings unto all the people of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and gat them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here and we'll go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, Wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord, but it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before the enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. Listen, brethren. But they presumed to go up on the hilltop. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and Moses departed not out of the camp. Boy, that's a bad place to be. It went without the Lord. And the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites that dwelt in the hill, and smote them, and discomforted them, even unto Hormah. Now, brethren, let's consider some of these things that we're reading here. So we find that these ones just now, this latter part, they went without the Lord. You know, let me tell you something. People depart this message, depart this word, and they go off and they think that they're in battle for the Lord. And they think they're doing something that's under the Lord. And this is what's taking place. I can start calling names, brethren. They sit there for years. Amen. Praise God. Whoa, man. Boy, that's awesome. Boy, this is it. Boy, we're the ones. We're the men. We're the great, mighty men of God. Brother George had men like that around him that were great, mighty men. He called men and men ready on a minute's notice to go and fight, to go onto the forefront and to fight the good fight of faith and to go out and help spread the gospel. Had men that was making great sacrifice doing that. But brothers and sisters, there's times that we yield to the arm or the mind of the flesh. There's time that we yield over to them unbelieving thoughts and we think, we can't, we cannot, we can't do this. That grieves God. I know you never war with these kind of thoughts. And if you don't think that you war with those kind of thoughts that put doubt and unbelief in the way of the Lord, if you're not warring with those kind of things, brother, you're just dead. And you say, well, I am dead, Brother Rob. I died with Christ. Amen. I was crucified. And I'm not warring with those thoughts. I'm walking in the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost, man. I'm treading on scorpions and serpents on a daily basis. I said, praise the Lord. I'm with you. I like to speak that way, but somewhere we've got to fight. Somewhere we've got to conquer. Somewhere we've got to mortify. The Bible said that we take up our cross daily. Why would he tell us that when we say, oh, we're just dwelling in heavenly places. Praise the Lord. You know, we're sealed in and hid away. Nothing could touch us. Why would that person at the same time be saying to take up your cross, mortify that man, kill him out, bring every thought into subjection, cast down every thought? You see, there's a balance, brethren. I want to teach you to stand on the promises of God and think like sons of God and children of God. I want you to do that. I want you to talk about, I'm sealed in, I'm God's elect. Praise God, that's what I want to see in your life. But when you're speaking and confessing that, you're speaking and confessing the anointing, the power of the living God, filled with the Holy Ghost, with the joy unspeakable and full of glory. You're not walking around with your head hanging down, feeling sorry for yourself. Oh me, we can. God's blessing this one and God isn't blessing that one. I remember when the sister was asked to testify. And she gets up and goes, oh well, God done this for sister such and such. Why not me? Oh, God bless this one over here. How come not me? God healed this one over here. Why not me? God will never heal a mind like that. They will die and perish in sickness and disease and iniquities. And they'll perish and God will never even look their way. Because sons of God don't speak like that. My God could do all things. Amen. He's not limited. Amen. He is a healer, a deliverer. Amen. He's our salvation. He's the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. This is the way sons of God talk. But we get into this, oh, feel sorry, oh, poor me. Why is God blessing this one? Why isn't God blessing that one? Why don't you look at what the one that's walking in the blessing that God's doing and pattern your life after them? But you've got it worked out in your mind that you don't have to, that you're a chosen proper one, and that you could just do this and do that. Let me tell you something, those ones that are the proper and chosen are the ones that heard the plea of the Lord and said, go in and take the land and possess the land, and I'll give you victory over those Amalekites. I'll give you victory over them. You understand that? But there was an action on their part. We want the things of God. We want this and want that, but we don't want to be pressed. We don't want to reprove. We don't want to fight. We just want to walk in. You're charismatic. Go join Joel Osteen's church. Go down here and get in with these Baptist lukewarm bunch of reprobates down here. Go to church once a week and say, oh, I'm a son of God because I prayed a sinner's prayer. You poor thing. That sounds like a hard reproof towards the Baptists. I love Baptist people. I know Baptist people that have got the Spirit of God. But what I'm saying is I'm talking about their lukewarm religious ideology. Are the Pentecostals the same way? Brother Pike used to say, you know, you're Pentecostal. You say you're the cream of the crop. But why do you walk in this? Why do you do this? Why do you do that? There's a way to walk in the things of God. The Bible said if your confession is you're a son of God, then you got to go on with the rest of that confession. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. You know, you're not a son of God because you say, I'm a son of God. You're not born again because you say, I'm born again. Well, that's my confession, Brother Rob. Well, sometimes the Bible said you believe a lie and you're damned. We got to go line upon line. I don't want to tear down your faith. I don't want to tear down your expression of faith. I wanted to see that expression of faith, but when you have an expression of faith, my Bible said faith brings forth substance. It brings forth evidence. You understand that? So your faith isn't because you said it. Your faith is because it produced substance. You say, well, I'm healed by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you die with your cancer. Well, I'm healed by the stripes of the Lord Jesus, and your heart blows out. Well, I'm healed in the name of the Lord Jesus, and you die of leukemia. You see, it wasn't because of your confession, brothers and sisters. It's because you received the Spirit of God that healed your body and changed it, brought it to an evidence. That's when you're healed. Yes, you got to have a confession. Yes, you got to have a positive profession of the Lord Jesus Christ and His labors and His works weren't in vain. You have to have that profession, but there's people that are saying the right things, but there's no action in their life. There's no power, no authority, no victory, no anointing, no joy of the Lord. They're walking in grief and despair and sorrows on a daily basis. I know the Bible said Jesus was acquainted with grief and sorrows. Amen. But He didn't walk with His head hanging down. He walked with authority and power, and He stepped in before the adversary, and He walked in and met him face to face. Go ahead and do what you say. You can't kill me. You can't touch me. But go ahead and do what you think you got to do. I just paraphrased some things, but that's what He did. You understand where we're at today, brethren? You've got to know that God was preserving through this 13th and 14th chapter here in Numbers. He was speaking of preserving the testimony. Look what I done for you people before these Egyptians. And now you're going to walk right back in among them, and you're going to get your captain to march right back in there. You're going to reproach God and the kingdom of God and the things of God. It grieved them, opened up the earth and swallowed them up. And none of these elders made it across into Canaan. It was these youth. The only two was Joshua and Caleb. Why is that? Why could that be? How many of us, brethren, are walking as we say the sons of God today and professing with a confession that we're children of God and born of God are going to have these poor kind of testimonies and have these kind of murmuring and complaining against our God in our minds and in our thoughts? You might be a wife saying, why isn't my husband serving the Lord? You might be a husband, why is not my wife walking with the Lord? Man, quit murmuring against the Lord and start taking your rightful place and they'll follow you. Have you ever seen people get sick of hearing the testimony of their spouse because there's no victory in their spouse's life? That's sad. Let's go here for just a second. So you're a doctor. You hang a shingle out in front of your office, practicing 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. Hey, look, we got a new physician over on our side of town. Boy, it's nice. Seems like a nice young man. Carries himself pretty well. Went over to his office. He's got all the certifications hanging on the wall. So then the doors are open. Grandma went over there. He misdiagnosed her. Gave her some medication. She died. Then Uncle Festus. He went over there. He misdiagnosed him also. Thought he had a problem. Took his leg off. Now Uncle Festus has got a prosthesis. They come find out that wasn't his problem. He didn't need his leg taken off. Well, I'm on standing line next. I'm going. You see, I want nothing to do with that doctor. I ain't going over there. This guy's killing folks, man, cutting them up, maiming them, doing all this kind of stuff. I ain't going there. But now think about you now. It's supposed to be a physician for the Lord. Well, let me tell you something about Jesus, brother. Let me tell you something about your life, brother. Let me tell you something about you. Let me tell you something about this. And they're looking at you and saying, man, I don't want to go there. Everything around you dies. Everything around you is dead. Everything around you is unvirtuous and ungodly. Too much spewing out of your mouth. Don't listen to me. If I was presenting salesmanship to you today and I say, hey, you know, I'm in a successful company. I want you to come be part of it. And you say, well, share it with me a little bit. Well, I went bankrupt. Well, I thought you said, oh, it is a successful company. What's it done for you? Well, my wife left me. She just couldn't bear it. Hang on. Yeah, I lost my car. Lost my horse. Lost my shirt. Lost my joy. Hey, but come be a part of this. Let me tell you about Jesus. What has he done for you, brother? Oh, Jesus is so good. I love Jesus. You're not much of a soul winner. You know, what is your presentation of the Lord? What is your presentation of the kingdom of God? What is your presentation about the glory of the Lord? You know, brethren, we have got to look into our mannerisms and our confessions, our professions, and the things that we say. Let me tell you something. These preachers, they get on their radios and their televisions or whatever they do or get before the people, and it's always, oh, things ain't going too great, man. Gosh, I've got so many financial needs, man. I'm in trouble, man. I need help to pay my bills. I need groceries in my house, man. Oh, my car payment is due. I got this problem. I got this problem. I got that problem. I got this problem. Oh, but let me share Jesus with you. Please shut your mouth and never open your mouth about the name or the kingdom of God because you're not even associated with him. And you say, well, don't tell me, Brother Rob, that sons of God don't have financial problems. I didn't say that, but we're not out spewing and puking and vomiting on a daily basis and poor mouthing God. That's why we don't have the blessings of God, because we're continually poor mouthing when we could walk in the land of Canaan, when we could go in and possess the land and bring forth some fruit, bring forth some great fruit, amen. But we walk with a little raisin when we should have a basketball sized grape, but we got a little dried up raisin that's got maggots in it. Why? Because we poor mouth God. Oh me. Well, I know he blessed them others over there and he blessed this one over there. But no, this is where God wants me to be. He wants me to walk like this down in this. I don't know where he ever desired a son of God to be a beggar. I don't know where he ever desired a son of God to poor mouth. I don't know where he ever one time done that. We're supposed to be soul winners, amen? We got to possess the land. We got to possess Canaan. We got to walk and bring forth the fruit. And we're not going to come out with a negative testimony. We're not going to come out and say, oh, it's too much for us to bear. It's too big. There's giants in the land. That's what we do. Well, we can't do this. The economy's bad. We can't do this because of this. We can't do this. Man, you're just professing the giants. We're sons of God. Amen? He could still, to this day, bring a raven with the clutches of meat in it if you're hungry. Do you realize that? He took the loaves and the fishes and multiplied them and fed the multitude. What do you think he could do for a family of four or five or six? What do? Are we taking a supernatural out of our God? Are we taking the supernatural means of God away? I understand the parable of the talents. Yes, there is times that God puts things in your hands and you learn to utilize those talents and those skills. You sit back and say, oh, God, make a way. I'm in trouble. And he said, well, I've done gave this to you. Are you sowing it? Are you using it for the glory of God? And when we don't use it to bring glory to his name, sometimes he'll take those things away from us. What's your motive? What's your purpose? What's your plan? What's your thoughts? What's your ideology? What is on your mind? What are you thinking? And what are you speaking? What are you saying when you leave somebody's home? Brethren, I'm speaking to you as contractors. You go out into people's homes. You're out on jobs. Or you go out and you're visiting or whatever you're doing. Wherever you're sharing or wherever you're at. What kind of testimony are you leaving with the people when you walk away? Let me tell you something. When they came with these kind of reports, oh, there's giants in the land. Man, they got fortified cities and they're strong and we can't take them. Boy, that grieved God. And let me tell you something, when you're out there trying, supposed to be winning souls, and you're out there sharing your weakness, sharing your failures, sharing your faults, sharing all these things with those people out there, and you're telling them, oh, I just can't seem to make a way, oh man, everything's bad, this and that, you've got giants land and the earth is going to open up and swallow you up. We don't speak that way as sons of God. Amen. We are the children of the Most High. We're king's children, amen. We speak to the things that are impossible, and he makes them possible. You understand that? He heals, he delivers, he sets free, he anoints, and he takes nothing to make something. Don't limit him. Don't limit God. Some of you could sit here this morning. I've heard this before. Apply it. Well, this ain't no new revelation. No, I don't have no new revelation. I'm trying to get us to line up with the ones that's already gone forth. This is a revelation that we're reading about right here. We're finding the will and the mind of God. What makes him think? What makes him move? And how he deals with his own people. You got to know those were his children. Those were his elect. Those were his people right there. See, I'm the elect of God. I'm the spiritual elect of God. I've been born again. He favors me and he looks at me. Well, let me tell you something. He don't like you murmuring and complaining no more than he did his natural elect. He don't like you poor mouthing no more than he did his natural leg. He cannot stand it when you say, I can't. I wonder how many of these ones that were saying that the fortified cities were too strong and the people were too big, saying, well, Lord, if you would send us, 10,000 chariots, if you would send us 200,000 spears, if you would send us 40,000 swords, then we could do it. What did he do with Gideon? He took and brought his strength down, for God could show himself. You see, this is what we want to do, and we'll give the glory to God, but we'll build up ourselves with the arm of our flesh, and we'll build ourselves up in a certain way, and we'll do this, and then we take all the glory because we're businessmen. And God will blow on it. He'll bust it wide open because he don't want you to give the glory to your ability, to your business smarts, to your skills, and to your entrepreneurship, so to speak. He don't want to give the glory to that. And you see, if I do anything, the glory and the praise goes to the living God. Amen. Because God could shut you off that fast. I got a pocket full of $100 bills. Yeah, I know, and he's got a sharp pair of scissors too. Cut it off. And you say, well, but I tithe, Brother Rob. So he won't do that. Yeah, I know people that tithe that ain't got nothing because of hidden sin in their life. And that sin, they got nothing whatsoever at all. Well, they fit it over here in this line. They fit okay over in this line, line upon line. But there's something there. We get these funny ideas. Let me tell you, God wants the glory. God wants the praise. God wants the honor. Amen. And you got to learn to honor him. And sometimes it says, we were speaking the other night about false humility. Sometimes I say, oh, I'm the least of you. I don't like fake. I could say hypocrisy. I don't like it. You love the Lord this morning? Are we going to take the land? If we possess the land, that means that this form that you see with your eyes, this body, this man, this physical flesh, when we take the land, we bring it under subjection to the mind of God, the mind of Christ. There's going to be something coming out of our mouth like we heard out of Caleb here. Man, we could do this. Praise God. Amen. The thing is, brethren, this world, the Pharisees, they get charismatic type people. I'm not talking about Christian people. There's many of these motivational speakers. Like I would number Joel Osteen as a motivational speaker, not a pastor or a minister. But a good motivational speaker. And he speaks the truth. He talks about the word of God. But he just don't go far enough. He's kind of like the father or the mother that their children sit down and is giving them cheesecake and pie and cake all the time. The kids are liking it. But they're lacking some nutrition and some strength. Sometimes they need to get something a little bit more that'll bring them a little more strength. You could analyze me in my life. Praise God. I'm accustomed to it. Under the guns continually. If you want some help, if you want some ammunition against me, just come to me. I'll give you some notes. Amen. But I like what Brother Arthur said. I like what I'm doing more so than what some of you do. Some of my biggest critics, I like what I do a lot more than what they do. Because what they do is murmur and complaining against God. Part of their murmur and complaint might be about Brother Rob. Well, he ain't like Brother George. Brother George done this and Brother George done that. And Brother George done this and Brother Branham done that. Well, praise God for what those guys did. They've done met their reward. What about your reward? Are you going to stand innocent before the Lord because of my failures? Are you going to stand before the Lord God with innocency and say, oh, Lord God, I would have done this. I would have served you. But you had this big giant named Brother Rob Coons called himself a pastor, and he was in my way. You're going to find yourself in hell. I'm telling you, I'm not your stumbling block. The thing is if I'm not doing something for God and you can't see something and I can't help you, then find somebody that can. And you say, what if we all leave? Well, then I'll be in here talking to the video camera. Amen. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. And I don't want these giants in my way either. I don't want to stand before God with excuses. Oh, but Lord, Mr. Economic Analyst from CNN said, we're going down. God's blessings, God's provisions, God's strength, God's anointing is not anywhere by no means limited by the financial structures of a country, an economy, a nation, whatsoever. And I know where the critic would go with that. Say, oh, well, we got to take and get a hold of their monetary things or their finances for we can do something for God. I say, yay and amen. But I know the Lord himself took a man down to catch a fish, and he laid that fish open, and he had some of what they call their monetary value or their means. And he told them where to put it. Go ahead and give it back to them. The thing is, brethren, is we don't limit an unlimited God. If you are going to base your ministry, if you're going to base what you do for the Lord on finance, and brethren, I know I'm a pastor. I know that you're sitting in the comforts of air conditioning. You got lights and you got amplified sound. Some of you are listening by the way of a camera over here or internet or whatever. Everything costs money to get the gospel out. I do realize that. God could make a way. Brethren, what are the giants? When God laid something out before you and he set it there before you, what kind of giants have you put there in the way? What kind of fortified cities have you stopped at because he can't bring the walls down? Come on now, brethren. You know, we read these stories and you could be a historian or Bible scholar and I'll tell you like this, it profits you absolutely nothing unless you apply it to your own life. You've got to make an application of what this God of yesterday, the God of today, and the God of tomorrow is saying here to his people. He's the same to every generation. And this is the way he dealt with his elect. And you call yourself the elect of God. What are you doing and not doing? That's what I should say. What are you not doing? And we can all say, oh me, amen. What are we not doing? What are we not doing? I made a statement the other day about the mowing, the weed eating and things. Oh, I know it's not your responsibility. You have no business coming over here and helping. Well, you know what? Brother Randy and Brother Drew could get all the reward. You know, God's principles, you say, well, I believe that I could reap where I didn't sow. Yeah, you are. You're reaping death. You say, I believe I'm reaping life. Well, let me tell you something. When you're reaping life, brethren, it's because you're partakers of life and you're partakers of the Spirit of life. And when you have the Spirit of life, it's emanating life. It's putting forth life. It's putting forth power. It's putting forth strength. What about if I came to you every time and say, hey, I'm a multimillionaire? And I say, let's stop at McDonald's. Brother, could you treat me to a Happy Meal? I got no finance. And then I see you the next time. I say, oh, man, praise God, I'm a multimillionaire. But you think you can foot the bill today? You see, we understand that kind of talk. Oh, I'm this, I'm that, but you say, I'm a Christian, praise God. I'm a son of God, hallelujah. Give me another glass of wine. Give me another smoke. Let me tell you another filthy joke. Man, I'm a son of God, hallelujah. Oh, poor me. I don't know if I'm going to make it this month. I just don't know. I just don't know if God could make a way or not. I just don't think he's blessing me. I just don't see his hand on my finances. I don't see his hand on my business. I don't see that he's blessing me. I knew he blessed that other guy over there, but he just ain't blessing me. If I had that kind of testimony, that kind of confession, I wish somebody would walk in and blow my brains out and get me out of the way for I wouldn't hinder others to go to hell with me. Do you understand that? If I'm going to go to hell, I'd just soon get on there and get in there, and for I won't hinder somebody else to be there. Maybe I got enough decency for that. You understand that? Maybe I have enough decency in me to say, if I'm predestined to eternal damnation, maybe I'd just get on with it and get there and quit making other people miserable too. Brethren, we need to have a positive testimony of Jesus Christ. We need to be confessing him on a daily basis. We need to be talking and praising and worshiping and magnifying the name of the Lord. Not just in church. When you come into the house of God and you can't even pick up your hands and we're worshiping the Lord and I feel the anointing of the Lord and you got your head hanging down and your arms hanging down and somebody said, well, lift up your hands to the Lord. I guarantee you somebody put a .44 caliber pistol in your face and says, put your hands up. Yes, sir. I got them up. Maybe God's looking for that kind of surrender and saying, somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What are you making us charismatic, Brother Rob? No, I'm not trying to make you charismatic. I'm trying to get you to fall in love with God. I know how you act when you get that check in the mail. I know how you act when you're doing something good. It's like, woohoo! Hey, man, look at this, man. Man, the IRS come through, man. They give me some money. Hey, they give me some finances. Whoa, I got this big job. Man, I got a job. I'm going to make 30 grand. Oh, I got me a new car. Woo! But you say, somebody say, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. You're lost. Come on, am I right here, brother? Judges thing. So we can moonwalk across the whole stage, man, when we get the new car. Woo, hey. Come on, is this right? But somebody says, man, you got eternal life.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. These are just things to manifest where you live. These are just things to manifest where your mind's at. When your mind is always out there. I know we're in business and we got to put our mind into things, but when it stays there continually and it's never upon God, God won't bless what you're doing. When you put anything before the Lord, it makes that his enemy. It could be something that works for this man. It could be something that works for this woman. It could bring prosperity and bring blessings and bring honor to the kingdom of God, but it won't work for you. And the reason it won't work for you, because you put it before the Lord instead of putting him first and seeking him and his kingdom first. Brethren, I understand the will, the mind of God, at least in part. And it's a struggle. I know that you're at ease in Zion and everything. Boy, praise God. But let me tell you something, brethren. You better learn to be a good soldier for Christ, to be more than a conqueror. You need to take and put your hand in the sword. Or as Brother Pike would say, get a hold of the plow and don't look back. You know, and I know that you got your salvation and it's not by your works and not by your labors. It's by the Lord Jesus Christ and his works and his labors. I'm with you. I say yea and amen. But let me tell you what his labors do, brethren. Listen closely. His labors yield forth fruit. And if you are fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ's labors, of his death on Calvary and his bloodshed and of his resurrection, if you are born of God and filled with the Holy Ghost, then you are fruit of his labors, and his fruit is not rotten. His fruit is not a stench in the nostrils of God. His fruit isn't poor mouthing. His fruit is standing up mighty and courageous and more than conquerors, testifying that my God is a provider. It means when you don't have nothing, it means when your finances have come to naught, you're still testifying God. And you say, my God is a provider, my God is real, and my God is making a way, amen. And you'll see the lights on, and you'll see the bills paid, amen, because you're confessing your God is a provider, and thanks. But if you poor mouth and all this and all that, and all me, and why this and why that, you will perish. Now there's an uncertain sound that went forth right now, because there's others that are prospering. They got their finances, they got their bills, they got everything, got all the T's crossed and the I's dotted, and they're on their way to hell. And they got finances in the bank when the undertaker's putting them in the dirt. They got money in the bank and their plot's been paid. And their headstone's already been pre-approved and already been made. Just waiting there for a little address or a little date to put on it. And they got all their T's crossed and everything's looking real good. And got their finances and they're going to hell. So you need to discern and differentiate. Many Christian people feel like they're justified God because they're prospering. Oh, if I'm prospering, so I got to be all right with God. No, he just ain't chastening you for your foolishness, because you're not the elect of God. You're not his child. You're a child of the devil and your father's the devil. I know that sounds like hard talk, brother, but we need to get a hold and get a hold of the altars, and we got to press our way into the kingdom of God. This lukewarm 2012 religious ideology, I'm not of this world. I'm not part of this world. I'm not part of this world order. I'm not part of the political powers of this world. I'm not even part of the religious institutions of this world. Jesus didn't number himself with the Sanhedrin when he come and walked among them. He talked about a kingdom that isn't seen with eyes of observation. We got to find the will, the mind, the power of God. Brethren, we got to start guarding over our testimonies and what we say and what we do. We got to start guarding over what kind of communications that we're hearing. You could say, well, this guy's this and this guy's that, but you got the problem when you're listening to it. That's why I talk about even some of the music that some of you listen to. You see, it's degrading. It doesn't bring glory and honor to the Lord. It brings something in a fleshly prestige. It makes you want to sound like them, because you look at them as being successful because they got big numbers and because they sell big albums and because they're popular, they're on TV. Let me tell you something. I think of the same way about the popular musicians as I do the popular preachers. They sold their soul to the devil. And you say, you can't say that, Brother Rob. Well, I just said it. I'll say it again. They sold their soul to the devil for their fame and their popularity. I'm knowing people that started out with gifts of God that could sing and magnify the Lord and the anointing of the Lord. And then they start getting lifted up and they start building more and more of a circuit and getting bigger buses and getting airplanes and traveling. And the next thing they're on CNN or CNN. That's a heavenly channel compared to TBN is what I meant to say. If they went on CNN, I'd say, praise God. They go on TBN, I say, God departed from you. Yeah, you're mocking Brother Rob. I'm mocking the devil. Lightly esteeming them glamour people of such fame and popularity, prestige and pride and glory and honor to yourself. Boy, you're the one. You're the man. You could sing better than anybody else can. You can do this and that. And it destroys the anointing of God. Amen. Young people, take heed to what the preacher's saying today. Follow the Lord and let him bless you. Maybe you won't be set before the thousands, but maybe your singing might win one soul into the kingdom. Maybe your song that you sung might touch one spirit and one person come in. But when you're out there singing to the multitudes and thousands and this and that, I'm telling you, the only way that you're going to get there is by sellout, by putting yourself to the doctrines of devils and the pigs and the swines. And you say, well, I think you're wrong, preacher. I think God could raise you up and put you before the thousands and multitudes as a holiness preacher. I say, you ain't amen. I agree with you 100%. I think God could anoint you to sing and could put you before a thousand people. I say, you ain't amen, because I'm not going to limit God. But I'm going to tell you the way that most of them get there. There's a roadmap, there's a course, and there's a way. And what they do is instead of trusting the Lord, they start going the way that the others go. Let me tell you something. God has taken me from the tail of things and raised me up to the front of things. And it wasn't because of my education, my college degrees, or anything else, but because I was seeking him first, and he would make and raise you up and put you in. But you can go through the motions of the flesh. I got a certification as an aircraft mechanic. It's a 2-year college course. I didn't go to college one day. I did have to do some home studies at home, and I got the certification. I used it some for the glory of God, but then I went on. I could share things with you of what people do and strive to do it the way the world does it, where God just takes and lifts you up, puts you on top. Just apply yourself and trust him. He'll raise you up. He'll make a way. You can go their way or you can go his way. He wants to bless you. He wants you to prosper. There's a lot of wonderful people in this world, brethren, that need the Spirit of God and to walk in the Spirit of God and the leading of the Lord. If it's my children, if it's your children, and they don't have the Spirit of God, I'm not talking about ideology. I'm not talking about quotes of what daddy or granddaddy said. I'm not talking about because we could mimic or say or do. I'm talking about being filled with the same Spirit of God, the power, the authority, and the anointing of God to walk upright in righteousness, to be a peculiar, separate people, to come out of the unclean thing and quit trying to take the doctrine of God, of his holiness and of his power, and trying to make excuses for your fleshly life. I'm telling you, I've got people amongst us that hear me preach. And I got people that they're taking the revelational doctrines of the power, the authority, and the Spirit of God, and they're still walking in the flesh, still walking in the prestige of their own self with their own ideology and stuff, and they're calling themselves sons of God. And they're not being led nor walking in the Spirit of God. No submission in their life, nowhere. I'll tell you this, that when a man has the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, he's got submission in him. And he'll lay his life down and he'll push and press to make somebody else's life better. I'm telling you, that's just the fruit of the Spirit of God. You say, well, that's just the way you see it. No, it's the way it is. This isn't my word, it isn't my way, it's God's way. You hear the old people say, it's my way or the highway. Well, let me tell you like this, it's either God's way or the broad way. And the broad way leads to destruction. Amen. Let's stand together. I appreciate you and love you. This morning, let's take and apply the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God is real. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is a quickening. Amen. We need to walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. I appreciate the Lord preaching to me this morning. I might not have helped you this morning, but it's helping me. What are you going to say, Brother Rob? I say, oh, me. You say, why don't you say amen? I'm saying amen. My inner man is saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God, jumping and shouting and screaming victory in Jesus. Yes, amen. Sir. But there's an old man there that says, oh, God, have mercy. Amen.
You say, he shouldn't be there, Brother Rob. He should be dead and buried in Christ. And I say, yay and amen. Pray for me. Let's worship the Lord. Amen. Let's sing a song or two. The altars are open, brothers and sisters. I love you and appreciate you. I think you're a wonderful, wonderful people. A wonderful children of God. But let's walk like the children of God, the sons of God. Let's ask God to let us have the same spirit that Caleb had. That we could walk through the land of the giants and we could have a testimony that we can, hallelujah, overcome. And we can take, we can prevail. Thank you, Jesus. Let's worship Him, saints. Let's worship the Lord. Let's worship and praise Him. Let's honor Him this morning. Sometimes it's okay to repent. Sometimes it's okay to just lift up your hands to the Lord and say, Lord God, I'm sorry. Lord God, I know that I'm inexcusable. Almighty God, because you give me everything that pertain to life. You've granted wisdom and knowledge and understanding and revelation to me, Lord. Lord God, you've given me, anointed me and empowered me. You've gifted me, Lord God, and I haven't utilized it. You know, when we think of the talents, one was given one, another one was given five or whatever it was. God expected them to utilize those, and the ones that didn't utilize them, they were taken away and given to the ones that already had. God has gifted and talented you and given you talents this day. Do you realize that? He's gifted you. Some of you have been gifted to sing. Some of you have been gifted to be able to speak. I was talking to Brother Marion Wise. And I said, Brother, I said, God's gifted you to walk up to strangers and just speak to them about the Lord. That's a gift. He might have problems. I may have problems, but that's still a gift. And we start utilizing those gifts for the Lord. We start going up to people that don't know God, that don't have God, and we walk up and say, Brother, I just wanted to greet you today and say hello. I want to encourage you in the Lord Jesus. He loves you. He came and died and shed His blood for you. Do you talk to people like that? Do you ever walk up to people and discuss those things with them? Do you ever share with them that your God is all power, all authority? That He can make a difference for them in their lives? Thank you, Jesus. Sister Melissa. Let's pray. Most gracious Father, I thank you, Lord God, that she stands before you with a broken spirit, Lord God, just as well as I do. I thank you, Lord God, that you hear her plea and her cry. Most gracious Father, I thank you, Lord, for the anointing of God on her life. I thank you for her family. Lord, I thank you that she's in the same struggle that we all are in, to lead, direct, and guide. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you recognize and hear her prayer, Lord, this morning. Again, Lord God, as we both stand before you, lifting up our hands unto you, Almighty God, and thanking you for your grace and your mercy that you bestowed upon us and given us all that pertaineth to life. Father, bless and anoint, answer the prayers, Lord God, because we know that you've heard and you're granting every petition. Father God, continue to bless this family and utilize it for your glory and for your honor and for your praise. Bless this family, these children. Bless this mother and father, Lord God, to walk in that place of righteousness and holiness, Lord God, conquering all of the iniquities from former life in the wonderful name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Sister Melissa, you got one thing to look forward to and one thing only, and that's blessings. Amen. Blessings. God hears the broken, contrite spirit. Amen. Sometimes people come before the Lord. It's like, hey, you owe this to me. Hey, I've done this. I've done that. This is what you got to do. Well, let me tell you, there's some fine lines in that. We need to go before the boldly to the throne of grace. And we go with the confidence of the labors of Christ and His word. If we're boasting before to receive something, it's not because of our actions, it's because of His actions. It's not because of our abilities, it's because of His ability. Amen. And when you find enough humility to present yourself before God in such a way as that, He'll add an increase to you. He'll fill you with power and joy and salvation and you'll be walking in authority, amen, of the glory of the living God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel the anointing of the Lord, amen. I feel the wonderful power of the Lord, the grace of God, amen. I tell you, it's what gives me hope. It's what gives me life. It's what gives me strength, amen. Hallelujah. Be a good cheer today, amen. We're the children of God, amen. Be of good cheer, man. He has blessed us with life. Hallelujah. Pick up your head. Lift up your hands and say, I love you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I feel yoke being broke. Can you do what I say this morning? Lift up your hands and say, I love you, Lord God. I love you and I thank you and I praise you for life, abundant, eternal, and holy and godly life. Hallelujah. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your virtue. I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for your power. Hallelujah. I thank you for provisions. Amen. I thank you, Lord God, that my lights are paid. I thank you, Lord God, that my payments are paid. I thank you, Lord God, that I got life. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We got something to shout about.
Amen.
You say, well, I can't say that because they're not paid. We'll start speaking it differently because it is in Christ. It is before the Lord, and he will do it. You say, well, that'd be lying. No, it's not lying. If you got sickness and you say, by the stripes I'm healed, are you a liar? No. You're speaking the word of truth. Let every other man be a liar. Well, the doctor said I'm dying. The doctor's a liar. My Bible said I'm living because I got life. Hallelujah. Amen. I can't die. Amen. Brother Isaac, you one of them that can't die? Amen. See, that little brother's got it.
Amen.
He can't die. You say, well, Brother Rob, well, I mean, you know, people die and get killed in car wrecks, not sons of God.
No.
Sons of God might get in a car wreck. Sons of God might depart this world of what you know them as, but they can't die. Amen. Well, that's what I'm afraid of. I just don't want to leave this world. I can't get out of here quick enough. This is all a vexation to the spirit. The things that you find in this life, that you find joy in the life, not in the spirit now. The joy that you find in this world, it's all dung.
That's right.
You know, read your Bible. Stephanie was sharing a story that Brother Evans was preaching about Solomon. I mean, look at the wealth that he had. But you know what? What did he say when it come down to the end? Somebody tell me what he said.
Vanity.
It's all vanity and vexation of the spirit. It's all dung. Paul came to the same revelation. Later on, way down, many, many years later, Paul came to the same revelation. All of my learning is dung. All your Bible memorization, all of your quotes. You say, it's all dung. You say, man, don't say that, Brother Rob. When it goes to your intellect, that's all it is. But when you take and hear those things and it strengthens your spirit and you're walking in demonstration of power, then it's you can't say it's dung. You understand that? It isn't. It's life. Amen. We've got to rend the veil of these things. I could take you through the Bible and show you personality after personality after personality after personality after personality that went into the lake of fire, that the earth opened up and swallowed up. Some of them were called by name. Why did they call Jezebel's name? What about Judas? Called him by name, didn't he? When he took the sop. You know, people draw back. You know why they draw back when you call names? Because they're religious hypocrites, mm-hmm. and they're full of dead men's bones, and they got the stench and the smell of the pig trough on them. That's why they draw back. Well, you need to be careful what you say, preacher. You know, you don't want to speak against God's elect. I don't think I've spoke against God's elect this
Amen.
Morning.
No.
Now, one of those people, if they're God's elect, they're out in the world right now, and I'm speaking to them just like Jesus said to Peter, get ye behind me, Satan. If I say Joel Osteen, I say, get ye behind me, Satan. Maybe one day Joel will get born again and get filled with the Holy Ghost, start preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and start telling people to turn away from their sin. The Bible said, you know, they're called of God because they turn people away from sin. God didn't call preachers to be motivational speakers. He didn't call preachers just to make you feel good. He said they want to prophesy smooth things. That's what they said. I'm not here to prophesy smooth things. I'm here to prophesy the word of God. And if you don't line up, you don't walk right, you don't talk right, you don't live right, you'll perish with the rest of the world on a broad path of destruction. Amen. You love the Lord this morning.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.